Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Our text for today is Gospel reading from Luke chapter 18. We read again verse 1. And he said a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. What is this parable? Maybe it appeals to me because I'm a former lawyer. I don't know. But Jesus tells this story about a certain judge. You can read along. I encourage you to read along as I retell it. I'm going to retell it in a way that has maybe a few details as I picture it in my mind's eye. With maybe an extra character here or there. Maybe a little bit about the weather. Can't stop talking about the weather, can we? So here we go. Jesus says, this judge lives in a certain city. He says, this judge does not fear God. This judge does not respect people. And elsewhere, Jesus tells another lawyer that God's commandments can be summed up as love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. This judge does neither. He neither loves nor fears God, and this judge does not respect people. Surrounded by a city of people, he looks down on them every day from his seat in the court. He looks down on them every day as he walks to work. Because he sees these people who come before him, angry people, people in conflict, greedy people. That's who stands before him. Slick-haired men in slick clothes stand before him, pandering with slick words to get what they want, to get what their clients want. Can you just see him up there thinking, I've seen these shysters before. I've heard all their $10 words. I know what they're after. Why should I respect that? And vulgar people come before him, too. Have you ever seen Judge Judy? They're as unkempt in their words as they are in their dress, the way they take care of themselves. Can you hear this judge thinking, get out of here, you slob. What, did you grow up in a barn? Do you even own a comb? How could you come here to court to stand before a judge? Have you no respect for me as a judge? Have you no respect for the law? No. Why should I respect you? Now, a certain widow comes before him one day. This widow comes alone. No one's with her. Obviously, her husband lies dead and buried. And evidently, to the judge, this widow has no apparent means of support. But she has a case. She has a case. At least she thinks so. With tears streaming down her face, she simply pleads, vindicate me against my adversary. That's her case. Can you imagine what the judge thinks? Oh, the old sympathy play. She even worked up a tear. How about that? I've seen it 1,000 times. Anything to get what you want. Case dismissed, he decrees. So a burly man in a uniform, I told you there'd be a couple extra characters. A burly man in a uniform with a weapon strapped to his side, he motions the widow out the door. So the next day, morning dawns at the court. The sunlight is glinting off the slick hair of the assembled slick-clad lawyers, and the grubby commoners, I guess. And they don't notice this drab, silent widow who's in their midst, but the judge notices her. What is she here for, he wonders. And when her turn comes to stand before him, a single tear appears on her cheek. But she dabs it quickly away with her hand. What do you want? Asks the judge. Give me justice against my adversary, she simply says. I dismissed your case. Officer, get her out of here. But she feels the grip of the burly uniformed man as he squeezes her arm, half pulling, half tugging, half dragging her out the door. While gloomy clouds cover the sky as the judge comes to court the next morning, his eyes now search for her. There she is, as gloomy as the weather, among all the slick men. Put that woman last, the judge tells his clerk. So the widow stands last before the judge at the end of a tedious day, having waited for everyone else to be heard. Judge, hear my case and vindicate me, she pleads. Go away. I told you I will not hear it, he says. And this time the uniformed officer simply motions her to the door, and she goes. Well, rain drizzles on the head of the judge as he leaves his house for court the next morning. He covers his head with his arm. You wonder, is it to keep the raindrops off, or is it to hide from the widow who he dreads seeing outside the court that morning? Don't even admit her, he orders the burly officer. And as he's about to go in, the judge turns to see the uniformed man and what he's doing. The uniformed man is now just shaking his head as he points the dreary woman away. And despite the rain, he doesn't seem to see any droplets on her face. Yet her lips are pressed tightly together, and she catches his glance and looks him in the eye, and her eyes say, give me justice. But where does she have to go? So she waits for the judge. She waits for court to be adjourned. And outside, she buttonholes him as he trudges home. Vindicate me, sir, she says. Again, he brushes her off. Oh, this widow, he exasperates. Well, a steady rain besogs the judge as he steps out his door the next morning. And there she stands, sopping wet, waiting for him. Give me justice, she pleads, before he even has a chance to say anything, before he can raise his hand in silence. Keep away from me, or I'll cite you for contempt, he says. Well, she follows him at a distance through the rain-soaked streets. He can feel her eyes on the back of his neck. The burly officer and the slick-haired men and the grubby peasants watch as the judge slogs up to the court. They watch the widow lingering at a safe distance. Now the burly officer just looks at his feet as the judge enters. The slick-haired lawyers look at each other. The peasants, they just look at the judge. Day after day, this continues. And one day, in court, there's a thunderstorm pelting the building as the judge holds court, tries to. He's not even listening to the slick-haired men as they talk before him now. He's thinking to himself, trouble. God, this one is getting me in trouble. What am I saying, Adrian? I don't even believe in God. If there is a God, I don't care what he thinks. I don't care what anybody thinks. But to get this woman off my back, I'll hear her case. I'll vindicate her if she's got a case. At least that way she'll stop pestering me. Otherwise she'll give me a black eye in front of all the people in court, back in front of all the people in the city. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. Jesus says, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Hear what the unrighteous judge says. But will not God vindicate his elect, his chosen ones, who are crying to him day and night? Will he not be long-suffering to them? I say to you, says Jesus, that he will make their vindication come suddenly. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth? If an unrighteous judge finally gives in to such persistence, how much more eager is God, who loves you and has chosen you to be his own and named you his in holy baptism, to vindicate you? And God has done so speedily and suddenly. In fact, he's done it already before you even ask. You see, in contrast to that unrighteous judge, our Heavenly Father hears our prayers. Our Heavenly Father sent the Son of Man, who comes to be born into this world on this earth, to hear our prayers, to suffer and die on the cross for us, to bear your sin and my sin, to suffer pain, to suffer grief and anguish, and to be left alone and abandoned on a cross, abandoned by God and abandoned by his friends. He did all of that for you. That's why the Son of Man hears your prayers. And when the earthquake came, and the stone was rolled away, and Jesus rose from the dead, that's when the Son of Man vindicated you for all time. Suddenly, speedily, already. Already. In a couple minutes, we're going to say the Apostles' Creed. We talk about how God, Jesus, ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father. Well, what's he doing there? He's there for you. He's pleading your case before the Heavenly Father. Saint Father, I went to the cross for her. I went to the cross for him. Have mercy on her. Have mercy on him. Now, when I retold the parable, I focused on the judge. But we need to see ourselves as a widow. We can be so alone and in need of vindication. We're the ones who need to be persistent. We when tears of grief stream down your cheek, Jesus, the Son of Man, sees them. And Jesus invites you to bring your tears to Him. Don't stop laying your tears upon Him. He invites it. And don't stop turning to Him again and again every time for help in your prayers. When you're uncertain, when you're feeling helpless, your Heavenly Father hears your prayers. When you don't know where to turn, Jesus sees you. And Jesus invites you to turn to Him for comfort in His promise. So keep turning to Him for help. When you feel alone and rejected by a judge or by the people in your lives, Jesus hears your prayers. He adopts you and baptizes you into His family. He welcomes you with open arms. He goes to prepare a place for you in His Father's home. And very shortly, Jesus will come to you speedily in His own body and blood here today. Give you bread and wine, which is connected with His forgiveness and His life for you and your salvation. And even before that, as before we come to the Lord's table, He will be listening to you as we pray. You see, every service here that you come to, every service that you come to, is an opportunity for you to persist like that widow in your prayer, in turning to Him to receive what He's so eager to give you, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Now, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith here on this earth? When you speak that prayer, will He find faith? That widow had faith. Faith that God would vindicate her, even if this unrighteous judge wouldn't. Did she have hope in the judge? No. But she persisted. Did she trust in the justice system? No. But she persisted. Did she have faith in a slick-haired lawyer? No, but she persisted. Her hope was in the Lord. So she persisted and she pestered and she kept trusting that God would vindicate her. She kept persisting in faith. She kept believing that whatever it was or whoever it was she was wrestling with, she wasn't wrestling alone. God was on her side and wrestling with her, not against her. Sometimes we feel like Jacob in that Old Testament lesson. We're alone and we're struggling against something in our lives. We're struggling against somebody in our lives. Struggling against something in the dark. What is it? Sometimes it feels like the world is against us. And then it seems like things get tougher, if they could. Like we're down in the count, and God throws us a curveball. And it's a hard curveball, too, like aimed at the chin. You ever feel that way? It seems like we're struggling. It seems like we're struggling against both this world and against God. So we suffer. And in our suffering, we ask, God, where are you in all this? God, where are you in all this? We look at Jacob's example, and we see how God blessed him. God promises to hear his people and bless them. And still we ask, God, how are you going to bless me through this? God, how are you going to allow this? You promised. Yes, he did. And it's okay for us to cry out to God in our distress. God can take it. It's okay for us to call on God and his promises. God, you promised that. I'm waiting for it. You can do that. In fact, he's waiting for you to say that. He welcomes you to say that. Because when we're crying out to him, day and night, that's when we're actually being honest with God. God, I need you. God, I need you today. That's when we're actually praying. That's when we're actually being truthful. We can't handle it ourselves. We need him. All our safety and all our protection rests in him. And he is actually on our side. That Jesus suffered on that cross to atone for your sin and mine. And he's suffering with us today through our pain. And through Jesus, we will prevail. You see, in the parable, the widow struggles against her accuser, or her opponent, I guess you'd say, in court. And in her persistence, she also has to struggle against the judge. And in her persistence, she's not struggling, though, against God, even though it might seem like that. And neither are you. You see, in her persistence, God is wrestling for her, with her, and on her side. And he will vindicate her, as Jesus says. So when you pray, you may be wrestling against the problems you face in this world. And believe me, I know you've got them. When you pray, you may be wrestling against the people that you face in this life. I know you do. But when you keep praying, when you keep laying your heart in Jesus Christ's arms, when you lay your heart and your soul and your mind before your Lord, you are not wrestling against him. You're not. When you keep laying hold of Jesus' promise of forgiveness, you're not wrestling against him. You're grasping that promise of eternal life that he guarantees for you in your baptism. His promise of reconciliation between you and the world and all those people in your life that are such a pain. He's wrestling with you and for you. He's on your side. So keep praying and don't lose heart. He will give you the victory. Maybe not necessarily when or how you want it, but he promises it to you in the end for your good because he loves you. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds into eternal life in Christ Jesus. Amen.